Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I'm always afraid to ask these types of questions because there's always someone in the crowd who has not done or said the thing that I'm questioning. And knowing this crowd, I realize what a high probability that is. But I'm going to give it a try anyway this morning. Has anyone here this morning not played Follow the Leader? Wow, no hands. Whoa. Yeah, it's a game that we often play in grade school. We've even played it sometimes during the children's message in the second service. We know that following the leader can be both a good and a bad thing. I mean, following the dictates of a tyrannical leader like Jim Jones or the Hale-Bopp leader in San Diego can obviously be disastrous. But this morning, think for a moment. Who or what do you follow? You know, we use that phrase when we talk about following our favorite sports team or following the stock market, or when we tell someone who is driving to the same place that we are, well, just follow behind me. We're very familiar with that phrase. In fact, if I ask you today, how many of you are followers of Jesus Christ, all of your hands should go up, right? But what does that mean, to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, in our text this morning, Jesus said, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Now, the first thing that needs to be said about this is that this is a very difficult teaching of Jesus. We should not fool ourselves. I think it's better to confess this at the beginning than to pretend otherwise and lose our way in the end. Because I think the honesty with which we hold our lives before God is really the measure of our desire to be followers of Jesus Christ, not just merely spectators. The second thing that needs to be said is that it's the end of our lives that Jesus is concerned about in this teaching. And the end is not here the last moment, but the end in the sense of the goal of our lives. You know, when the old Westminster Catechism asks, "What is the chief end of man?" it wants us to consider, what is the primary purpose of human life? The answer they give is worth remembering. The chief end of humanity is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. But what is our primary purpose in life? How will we arrange everything around that purpose? At this point, Jesus has come to the moment when he needed to be as clear as possible with his disciples about the way and the path that lay before him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously called this the cost of discipleship, and he cautioned us that in the end it is not cheap. Do you remember the game Follow the Leader? I think, of course, you do. The rules are very simple. The leader gets to go wherever he or she chooses, and the followers either follow or they quit the game. Followers don't get to tell the leader where to go. That's their choice alone. You know, with my gang of friends that I grew up, we'd march off out into the desert or down an unknown path through my grandfather's neighborhood vineyard or across the neighborhood through an alley. And the leader always led. It was always their choice. And the choice is always there. And every follower continually decides how he or she will go, whoever is the leader, especially when the leader goes in a way that might be a little scary. If you were following, it was always a matter of trust and choice. Christians are playing follow the leader, only the game of is life, and it never actually ends except in death, unless you walk away and refuse to play any longer. You see, Jesus is continually saying, follow me, and I will lead you in the way that leads to life. Along this way, you will lose what the world tells you is the most important. And in the end, you will discover what is real life. And that's all that's really important. You know, we play this game all of our lives in one way or another, whether we acknowledge it or not. It's a game of trust and choice. For the followers of Jesus, the choice is always before us. How far will you follow him when the path leads along a way that you do not yet know or understand? How much do you trust the one that you are following? Peter couldn't fathom that his leader would go the way of suffering. He resisted mightily. His trust was tested by the way of the cross that Jesus was setting before him. Now, in the children's game, the leader realizes that if the followers don't trust you, the game will end very quickly, and the followers will all walk away. Jesus experienced that. And the same is true in our own lives. Only our lives are never truly over until our baptism is made complete. The real question becomes, who am I following? What path am I taking? Do I have the faith in the one whose way I'm walking? You know, it may seem irrelevant or irreverent to call this a game, because games are fun and silly. But even though this game is not silly and certainly not always fun, it will bring us to the deepest joy of all, which is discovering God's purpose for our lives. So we're back then this morning at the opening confession. This is a difficult teaching. You know, we may find it strange to walk in the way of Christ. It does lead you away from self-preservation to the cross, to a place where your life is given away for the sake of others. I mean, that's not a path that we normally follow. I mean, we usually follow a way that protects us. Jesus followed a way that led him to vulnerability. And yet he promised that as we develop the capacity to trust him, becoming vulnerable, we will actually find our heart's desire, life abundant, as he promises to give us. Here we might summon our hearts to sing the old gospel song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus and trust and obey. And so now we've come to the point where we meet the true meaning of the cross, where we might desperately want the game to be over. Can I get back to the normal life, Lord, where I'm in control? The one where I get to be the leader? You know, our normal way, isn't it, is to hold on to the things that we want. Even while Jesus, our leader, takes us on a path that requires us giving up what we want for the sake of what God wants for our lives. You know, discovering what God desires and orienting our lives in that direction, that is the way of the cross. And it will likely mean for us some personal sacrifice, some inconvenience, maybe even some vulnerability. Soren Kierkegaard once said that there are more admirers of Christ than followers of Jesus. Oh, you can admire Christ easily and still go on with church activities. You can even come to worship and feel morally chastised or pleasantly uplifted, and you can go home satisfied and only to return to life that is always has been with nothing really changed. Still admiring Christ. But the choice is whether we will seek to be disciples, being changed by our faith decisions, or to be content with just being an admirer of Christ. For instance, James Emery White, who's the pastor at Mecklenburg Community Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, has spoken out widely on the dangers of sports eclipsing family life. To his thriving, vital congregation of young families, he said, "Let's say this out loud, in front of the mirror, and see if we like it. Quote, I will do spiritual things for my child's sake until sports conflict. Then sports win." For White and for many parents, that uncomfortable choice is a cross moment. If it all seems confusing and perhaps too demanding, you're a good company this morning. Disciples thought the same thing, especially Peter. I mean, this is pretty hard stuff. This is not what we want to hear. But Jesus didn't intend it to be so hard for us to understand. I think he wanted his followers to know something rather simple, that he was going to die so that others may live. That's the meaning of the cross. And in a paradoxical way, whereby losing means gaining and dying means living, where becoming vulnerable means becoming courageous, Jesus showed us what is so counterintuitive that we often miss it. And the more we embrace the way of the cross, and the more we open ourselves up to God's love, then the more we discover joy and abundance in our life. Following Jesus is a way of life that's shaped by just simply letting go. It is to find life at its most purposeful when you're giving your life away. It is offering your cloak to the man who has none, walking the second mile when one seems enough, or turning the other cheek when it appears so much smarter to retaliate. That's where we get confused. It's by choosing to die to the things that we take as common sense that we find our joy in this mortal life. You see, a good leader tells the truth. Jesus told his followers to watch out. He said, "You can gain the whole world and lose your soul." It's a kind of word of caution that we need to hear, because we're surrounded by messages today that say otherwise. You can gain all sorts of stuff and power and prestige and realize that you're empty, that you're still looking for that which satisfies your soul. One of our former members, Don and Beverly Wilson, who are among the many victims of Hurricane Harvey, they lost their house. But Don, commenting on the loss that everyone was safe, remarked, "Thank God, but it's just stuff." For the followers of Jesus, the way leads to a cross. And he holds us to that honesty. But he told us to learn as we walk in his way. And as we do, we will find life abundant. For we cannot follow this way in our own strength. And if we could, we'd only end up with a delusion of power and self-preservation and really totally isolated from others. There is a better way, and it's the way of the cross. It's a game in which the goal is God's purpose for your life and living into that presence and purpose. It's the way of truth, trusting not in your capacity to get it right or always do it well, but trusting in the one who you are following. It's by following that we learn to follow. We learn to walk by walking. We become courageous by becoming vulnerable. We find life by letting go of life, only to find God's life given back to us. It's a very strange and yet wonderful way that Jesus sets before us. Remember, Jesus is the only one and the only one to follow. When our faith is weak, Jesus never gives up on us. He holds us up. He gives us strength to meet every day. And every day becomes a new occasion to express our love of Jesus to others. Each morning promises chances to help someone else understand God's grace. Each dawn carries with it the possibility of an opportunity to take Christ's loving presence into a world of those who are in need. You know, we all follow someone. We all play the game. So in the end, it comes down to this. Who are you going to follow? Amen.